talking about something that I just knew somebody would, because it was last week. Rest of, the other things you mentioned were a couple weeks back, and if you're like me, 2 weeks back, I'm sort of lost, but last week I can sort of remember. And if my memory doesn't fail me, we talked about something specific last week. Okay, that's okay, that's okay, that's okay. Well, no, we talked about something specific. He says, much more than being justified by his blood. And we talked about the blood. Now, I realize that religions of the world want to leave out the blood. In fact, some denominations that are even called Protestant have done away with songbooks that have songs about the blood because they say they don't like that bloody religion. Well, I would agree with them. I don't like bloody religion either. I don't like religion, period. But I sure do like the blood. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So if he didn't shed his blood, this boy's lost. See? So he says, being justified by his blood. And then he talks about, he follows that up by saying, and while we were yet enemies, we were reconciled by his, you can open your Bibles now, you can go there and follow me. By what? No. He says, while we were yet enemies, we were reconciled by his death. And he says, if a dead, and this was my paraphrase, you remember, I paraphrased it for you, but this is my way of saying it. If a dead God on the cross could reconcile me to God, think how much more alive God can. Because he says, being reconciled by his death on the cross, we shall be given life by his life. So here's what happens. Christ died so that you and I could have life. See, the problem is man of in his own right is dead. Now, you know, you ever wonder where they get these movies, The Living Dead and The Walking Dead and all this nonsense? Well, there is some truth to The Walking Dead. Because if you don't have Christ and you're walking around, you're a walking dead. You're a dead man walking. You're dead spiritually, and you're going to be dead physically. It is appointed unto man once to die. Listen, you have to understand the physical death, which everybody's going to go through, folks. You say, now, wait a minute, Tom. Wait a minute. I remember a verse where he says, we shall not all sleep. Right? In other words, we're not all going to die. And when the Lord comes back, if you're alive when he comes back, what happens? Well, no. You're not. First, before you're caught up, there's got to be a change. And you know what happens in that change? You die. Because otherwise that wouldn't be true. It is appointed unto man once to die. Everybody's going to die, folks. And when the Lord comes back, you're going to die, but you're going to immediately. That's not even fast enough. You're going to be changed in the moment, in the twinkling. Now, look, they've tried to measure a twinkle of an eye. I forget what it is. It's quick. I mean, it's quick. But did you know that your salvation is just that quick? When God saves you, it's just that quick. It's not a process. Listen, salvation is not a process. It's instantaneous. Serving is a process. Serving is a process. So it makes you wonder how we got to where we are, right? You say, well, Tom, that's because we've not covered the rest of the verses. That's why we are where we are. Well, if you noticed, he's sort of spoken here in general terms, right? So now he's going to do something. The Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, is going to do something. He's going to create one group of people in which everyone falls into that group. So let's go. Here's what he says. Verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, who was that? Thank you. Wherefore, by one man, sin entered into the world. Now that's Adam, right? Yes. And we all know that because Adam sinned, when you're born, where's Maitland? Where's Maitland when I need it? Oh, God. Her grandmother's escaped with her. Did you know that precious little thing that I was holding was born into sin? You say, but now, Tom, what if, just a hypothetical now. What if little Maitland dies? Oh, the Bible's clear about that, folks. Until the law came, Paul said, then I died. And here's what that means. Until that young girl, Maitland, until she knows and understands sin, she's safe. She's safe. But the day she knows, she becomes not safe. Now, how do I know that, brother? Tell him, honey.
The Bible says it.
Word.
Don't ask.
See, I knew. No, it don't, honey. This is one place. I'm going to give you an illustration in one place. Adam and Eve. That's who we're talking about, isn't it?
Oh, that'd be in Genesis.
Let me tell you something. Jesus, or God, said this. He said, the day that you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. Now, what else happened after they eat of the tree?
They became aware of their sin.
Well, they knew they were naked. Oh, see, now you're starting to pick it up. Were they naked before?
Yes.
Why, certainly. But they had no awareness. The day that they disobeyed God and what God said, the day they understood they had done that, sin entered. Now they got a problem. And we got the same problem, folks. We got to deal with sin. How do we deal with sin? Well, you can't die for your sin. You're going to die because of your sin, but you can't die for it. You can't be the sacrifice for your sin. You can't be your own atonement. You can't be your own reconciliation to God. That's not possible. Why?
Because we're never going to be able to stop sinning on our own.
Well, now you've sort of got it right, huh? I like talking with you because you'll talk back. Just ask Dwayne. You wouldn't believe what he said about you last night. No, I'm just teasing. What was we talking about?
I'm trying to have something good to come back with.
What was we talking about?
Sin, and when we are aware of sin, and when we know that we've sinned.
Well,
the Spirit lets us know that.
Let me ask you this. Why do you sin?
Because we're human, we're fleshly.
Why do you sin?
Because we're born into sin.
You have to be. Otherwise, somebody would not have sinned. And the reason you can't be your own sacrifice for the sin is because you're sinful. You can't use God said, I want you to take a lamb or a goat, and it has to be a yearling. And if you can't afford that, doves. But whatever you bring has to be without spot, without blemish, without sin. That's the animal. But that was only good for a
year.
See, remember we talked about the lease last week. Anybody, it come back to you now, we talked about a yearly lease, you know. You know, at the end of your lease, hey, if your landlord don't like you, he's not bound to give you another lease, right? Hey, at the end of that year, if God didn't like you, he didn't have to give you another year. If you brought something, if you brought an animal that wasn't like he said bring, you think he'd give you another year's lease? Not on your life. You're going to do it his way or else, right? So the reason you can't be your own sacrifice is because we're sinful. And the reason we're sinful is because of Adam. Now, Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent. Sort of like this culture we're living in, this society we're living in. Everybody's got an excuse for their problem. Nobody wants to take responsibility for themselves anymore. It's always somebody else's fault. Well, I can tell you whose fault it is. It's your own fault. If you remain there. If you remain there, it's your own fault. It's your choice. So that's what he's going to talk about here. Now, here's what he says. And I'm doing it a little different today. I'm going to go verse. I'm going to finish this chapter up because I want to get to chapter 6, which is one of my favorite chapters. Okay, well, they're all my favorites, but chapter 6 is really my favorite. One of my favorite. Well, they're all my favorite. Wherefore, by as one man sinned into the world, and death by sin. So you see, what came with sin was the death. Now, what death was he talking about? Huh? Both. With that sin came spiritual death. With that spiritual death came physical death. In other words, Adam and Eve was never born to die, folks. God didn't create them to die. They were going to live in paradise with him. But sin ended that. And he could have ended it there. Right? He could have said, well, I'll just start all over. But no, he didn't do that. He said, I've got a plan. Now, I've had a plan all along, he said. But anyway, he says, wherefore by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon. Now, what does that say? Okay, now he's not talking in generalities now, is he? He says, passed upon all men. Why? Now, I want you to, if you make notes or circle in your Bible, I want you to circle all there. All. Now, what he's done is he's put everyone in the same basket. All means all. All have sinned. No one, well, that's previously. Here we're just talking about all have sinned. Now let's see what happens. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is law. What he's saying is, look, even before God gave specific laws, men sinned because man is depraved. But what happened? God says, well, I need to show them their sin. Look, if you don't know you got mud on your face, do you think you're going to wash your face? Now, I know that's what wives are for. But that's also what mirrors are for. If you look in the mirror, you'll see the mud. And if you care, now you may not care. You may say, well, it looks pretty good. But most people would want to wash it off. So the law then is a mirror, isn't it? It's also something else. David called it a lamp and a light. It is a light. It is a lamp unto my feet. It is a light unto my path. Is sin in darkness? I mean, you can't say sin is in the light. No, because God is light. And in God there is no darkness. That's what his word says. So if you're in sin, you're in darkness, right? So it just, unless you want to keep stumping your toe, boy, and that hurts, don't you? Anybody ever stump their toe at night? Oh, God, that hurts. Man, unless you're like me and you got one missing, it hurts. So what do you do after you've stumped your toe a couple of times? No, you start turning on the light so you can see what you stumped your toe on. So then the law becomes the light. The light. That's why God sent the law. The law was never intended for you to keep. It's too perfect. You can't. An imperfect person can't keep a perfect law. Only a perfect God keeps a perfect law. So he sent the law so it would, you could look into it and say, oh boy, I don't like what I see. I don't like what I see. I can't see. I keep stumbling. I keep falling. Pray for little Ashley. You say, who's Ashley? She's a young girl I picked up on the road this morning. Her husband had just kicked her out. She had one little trash bag of clothes. She was crying. I went past her because, you know, me too. You can't do things like you used to do. But the Lord said, no, don't you pass her. You go back and get her. And I went back and she was crying. And I took her to where she needed to go. And I said, honey, do you know the Lord? She said, yes, sir. I said, well, he won't leave you. He won't kick you out. This will get better. But that's so we can see that we don't measure up. If I don't know what the speed limit is, Vernon, can you, as an ex-policeman and a former police officer, could you get me a ticket if there's no sign posted? No, you can't. Well, if there's no law, how can I break it? But if there's no sign posted, you're trying to be too picky now. Listen. The law says 55. I see 55. If I'm doing 70, he can give me a ticket. I broke the law because it's there. I saw it.
But if you weren't aware of the law.
Oh, you're trying to get too finite with me. I'm trying to make the point, if there was no law, if there was nothing in the books that said, you can't exceed 55 mile an hour. Then if I'm doing 70, he can't pull me over and say you broke the law. There's not one. Forget about it. Forget my example. Forget it. I got to move on. Oh, I should have known better to argue with a policeman. I've done it too many times. And I always lost. Now, So what he's trying to get everyone to see is, even before God gave the law, man sinned. Because once Adam sinned, hey, it's there. You can't get rid of it. It's what'll kill you. It's what'll kill you. It's what'll kill you. It's what'll kill you. It's what'll kill me. So y'all don't think I'm going to live. Sin will kill us all. It's in your body. That's why your body is the only thing that's not been redeemed if you're saved. So he says, here's the law. But even before the law, they sinned. And he says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Who's that? Christ. See, look, there's two Adams. You're going to see that here. There's two Adams. Here's what he says. But not as the offense, so also is the... Now, here's what he says. Just like Adam, the first Adam, brought you sin. The second Adam brings you a free gift. Now, you would think that that's sort of overdoing it, because a gift is free, isn't it? Otherwise, it's not a gift. So why would he use a term free gift? When I tell you what free means, you'll understand. It means a favor. What did grace mean? A favor. God just keeps doing us favors. We don't deserve any favors of God, but he just does us favors. Now, so he says, just like Adam gave you one thing, which was sin, Christ gives you a free gift. And he says, for if through the offense of one, what's that next word? Many be. Well, now we got a problem, right? Don't we have a problem there? What's the problem, honey?
He says many instead of all.
Yeah, that's a problem, isn't it? Is it many or is it all?
This says
many. Well, but I thought it was all. Well, why the transition of words now?
Because Christ came.
Well, because in the first place, all have sinned. But now that Christ has come, it's not all. It's just an unnumbered amount. It's just an innumerable number of people that reject him. They're still there. That's why he uses many. He doesn't say all, because now there's a difference. Before it was all. But when Christ came, oh, listen, you can get out now. You couldn't get out before, but you can get out now. So he says here, he says, but not as offense, so also is the free gift. For through the offense of one, many be dead. Much more the grace of God and the gift by grace. All right, now somebody read that and insert the word that I gave you for grace. Someone read that and insert that word that I gave you for grace. Quickly. I'll read it. Never mind. But not as the offense, so also is free gift. For through the offense of one, many be dead. Much more the favor of God and the gift by his favor, which is by... Look, only one way you're going to ever get this gift. Only one way you're going to ever experience this favor. Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, everybody experienced sin through Adam, right? And everybody can experience life through Christ, right? But only if you believe. You don't have to believe to be a sinner. You are one. But you'll have to believe to be a saint, bless God. I'll tell you that right now. Now, so he says, is one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto?
Many.
There's that word again. But you know, I made me a little note to the right of that. All who believe. The many there are the all who believe. The many before that was the all who don't believe. See how easy that is? So he says, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. He says, it's the same thing. He says, one man sinned, therefore we're all sinners. He says, but one man died, and all receive righteousness. Is that right? Well, I'm going to tell you what. You know, you could build you a doctrine right there that says we're all the children of God if you wasn't careful. Huh? I mean, listen, you could have this doctrine of the world that says, well, we're all children of God. We all sin, but we're all children of God. God just loves everyone. I want you to just follow
Everybody's
this. I know what you meant, honey. You come on. I noticed you raised your voice to me that time. I've tried to get you to raise your voice, and you wouldn't do it. God, you, I get her riled up, she'll raise that voice. He says, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. The first Adam brought you nothing but judgment and condemnation. Remember what he said up there before? He says that by his blood we're justified and we avoid something. What do we avoid? Starts with a W. Wrath. If you stay with the first Adam, that's what you get. I want to play a little game with you. Let's see, what's the name of that game? Let's make a deal. Let's make a deal. I've got door number one and door number two. Door number two is condemnation and judgment and sin. And death. Door number one, it's justification and righteousness and life. Who wants door number two? You know what's sad? They're taking door number two by the groves. You say, but they don't know what's behind door number two. Yeah, they do. God's already told them. Yeah. Stay with the first Adam. This is what you get. Yeah, or you can go over here to this door. Oh, by the way, he says, I am the door. Hey, if you want justification, if you want righteousness, if you want life, come through the door. I'm the door. So he says, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift, that favor. And if you chase that word all the way back to its root in the Greek, it means this. A divine, miraculous happening. Because I'm going to tell you something. Only a miracle of God can get you away from first Adam to second Adam. Is of many offenses unto justification. Did you notice what it said? Many offenses. I would try to list for you this morning my offenses before that red light in Winter Park, Florida. I couldn't do it. I just know. I know what it took to redeem me. I know what it took to atone for my sin. I know what it took to give me righteousness, to make me righteous, and to give me life by one man, Jesus Christ. If you don't think of it any other way, think about this. All the sins, S-I-N-S, before the cross, all the sins, S-I-N-S, after the cross, were placed on one man to pay for them. You think about how many sins that is, folks. Mine would have been bad enough. Multiply that out by the billions of people that have come and gone and will be coming. Because he didn't just pay for my sins that I committed before that day. He paid for every sin that I would commit after that day. That's a pretty good favor, wouldn't you think? That's pretty good grace, wouldn't you think? That's pretty good mercy, wouldn't you think? No wonder the word says his love is immeasurable. It's too high. It's too wide. You can't get under it. Oh, the love that it took to pay for your sin and my sin. To get us to where we can come in here today as children of God. Not just saying we're children of God. Bless God knowing we're children of God. So he says, therefore, as by one offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so the righteousness of one, the free gift, came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one, many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. They put up the 55-mile-an-hour stop sign. So that when John does 70, he knows that he's speeding. He's broke the law. And all these sins, plural, before the cross and after the cross, were placed on one man on the cross. And here's what it says about it. Where sin doth abound. In other words, where sin piles up high, the favor of God, which is him delivering his son, the favor of God doth much more abound. Now, it's as if the Holy Spirit says, oh, I know where their minds will go from there. Well, I'm just human and I know I sin, but there's grace. And the more I sin, the more grace is shown. Well, that's what it says. I'm not making that up. That's what it says. Where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. So if you stop there with your doctrine, you can say, look, I know I'm sinning, but boy, there's more grace. God's grace will be shown to me. Well, let's see what happens.